policy on jail expungement, on the policy framework for community courts and for language. In respect of slide 17, under program 3, we missed the targets in the master's office by very negligible amounts. For instance, on the deceased estates, we missed the target by 1%. Liquidation and distribution, we missed the target by 1% as well. We missed the target by 4% in respect of beneficiaries receiving, being in receipt of services of the Guardians Fund. We achieved 88% out of 92%. In respect of the percentage of value of briefs allocated to PDI, we missed the target by 1%. We achieved 82%. In respect of the number of briefs allocated to female counsel, we missed the target by 2%, having achieved 27%. And in respect of briefs allocated to female counsel, we missed the target by 3%. Or is it, sorry, I beg your pardon, it's 2%. We achieved 41%. In respect of the percentage reduction in legal costs, we saw an increase in 13% instead of 5%. In the percentage reduction in the capital amount claimed in respect of medical negligence, we were only able to achieve a reduction of 65% when the target was 97%. In the percentage of litigation cases settled, we achieved only 57% against 65%. In respect of compliance with treaties and international obligations, we achieved 63% instead of 85%. In respect of the number of treaty reports tabled at DERCO, we did not submit any reports, and there were two that should have been submitted. In respect of the project plan for the repeal of apartheid-era legislation, we did not achieve the target with the application for the approval having been submitted and, from the Office of the DG quite late, and we missed that target by about 2 months. In respect of the progress reports in for the National Task Team on the handling of LGBTIA crime cases, there should have been a target of 12 reports, but we only achieved 11 because the meeting for the last quarter was set at the last date of 31st March, being the period when the lockdown was actually introduced. In respect of slide 19, on the targets, these targets talk to the National Action Plan. We achieved only one initiative of implement the plan, on the implementation plan, against 3 targets. We did not produce the integrated government strategy, and we did not finalize the terms of reference. In respect of community projects for TRC, we did not achieve any of the actual targets of signing off on projects, but a lot of work was done in that respect, and we'll take first inputs in that regard when we deal with that report. In respect of slide 21, the number of government departments and entities exchanging information electronically, that is in respect of program 5, there was one target that we did, that we missed by 1. On slide 22, with regard to the 2020 and 2021 quarter 1 targets, this was during the period of the lockdown, and our overall performance translated to 45% of the targets being achieved during that period. The reasons for the underperformance in respect of program 1 is set out in the slide 23 to... there's quite a few slides on that, Chairperson, and I don't know whether you would like me to go through them in detail. But overall, we were severely impacted by the lockdown during this period, and my colleagues who are on online will give us an overview of other areas that they would like to highlight in respect of the non-performance in this regard. I would like to move on to slide 37, where we talk to the changes on the strategic plan and the annual performance plan. Chairperson, in this regard, we were, in respect of the budget cuts and also in respect of the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, departments were requested to indicate where they would like to reduce their targets. And in respect of this, we deal with slide 38, where we brought about some changes where you will see an increase in the targets due to some changes that we are required to make, and that is in respect of the increased access to justice services and the modernized and the digitized justice services platform. And in this regard, we talk to the splitting of the outcome on outcome two, and we now have two outcomes, because originally outcome one, governance and accountability, and we have now we split outcome two into two new outcomes in order to ensure the modernization and digitization of justice services is a standalone outcome. In respect of slide 39, we've also tried to improve on the online application services in keeping with the new challenges and the new normal in respect of the COVID-19 pandemic, and with a view to provide more services on an online platform than face-to-face application. Slide 39 talks to that. We talk about virtual court hearings. We talk about the audiovisual solutions being rolled out to 50 sites, and we talk about the audiovisual remand being rolled out in 60 courts. On slide 40, we deal with the other indicators that we have in respect of the number of master services being modernized. On outcome six, we talk about the transformed state litigation service and the legal profession, which we've also split into two. We split the transformed state litigation services and legal profession into two separate outcomes, whereas it was contained in one outcome. We have tried our best to retain the broader objectives of government in respect of transformation, so that those essential elements do not suffer due to the toning down and the, of the overall targets, and that we retain our policy direction. In respect of the changes that were brought about, I will now deal with slide 43, where we go through some of the revisions. There's a significant revision in respect of 141, the percentage total of the workforce in respect of the positions occupied by people with disability. So it's not a significant reduction, it's a 2.2 from a 3%. The number of sites where audiovisual remand court systems will be rolled out, we've changed the target from 10 to 18. On slide 44, there are some very minor adjustments, except for the percentage of family litigation matters, where we've reduced the target to 40% from 82%. And in respect of family non-litigation matters finalized, we've reduced the target from 62% to 35%. On slide 45, we've also generally reduced the targets to not lower than 70% in respect of the master's office work for administration of estates, liquidation and distribution, etc. In respect of slide 46, we deal with the capital, the reduction in capital amounts claimed in medical negligence. We've reduced it from 75% to 60%, and we've reduced the percentage of iCourt matters insourced from 10% to 3%. Due to the work in constitutional development, we've also significantly reduced some of the targets due to the inability to have face-to-face meetings and to have those sessions on LGBTI and trafficking in persons as well. In respect of the country reports, there were two country reports that were not finalized in the previous year, but significant work has taken place, and those reports will be table in 2020, so we've adjusted that target to capture that work that would have been done. That's the end of the overview on quarter one and quarter two and the revision of the targets. Chairperson, may I hand over to Mr. Ntembu, who's our acting CFO, to do the budget overview, please.
Good morning, committee member, chairperson, deputy minister, and the colleagues from the department. I'll quickly go to slide two of my presentation, just to reflect on the 2019-20 performance. The department recorded a percentage performance of about 96% at the end of March 2020, and if you compare it with the performance from the previous financial year, in the previous financial year we had spent about 98% of our budget. This resulted to an understanding of 767 million overall for the department, and if compared to the previous financial year, the understanding was about 444 million, and the biggest contributors on this understanding was basically compensation of employees, with 293 million, and capital expenditure with about 207 million. Let's move to slide five of my presentation. Basically, slide five from this presentation is reflecting expenditure performance, the economic application. And when you look at compensation of employees in comparison with the previous financial year, we recorded a drop of 2%. In the 2019-20, our performance of on compensation of employees recorded 90%, whereas in 2018-19, the performance was about 96%. I mean, was about 98%. The other area where we drastically performed less than the previous financial year was on capital expenditure. In 2019-20, the performance that we reported was about 70% compared to 100% of what we discussed in the 2015. I'll fly to slide number seven. Slide number seven is basically trying to show how much of the expenditure we incurred in the previous financial year was not directly linked to a set target in the performance. In our APC, about 7 billion of our expenditure related to those essential items that do not directly link to APC targets, and they constitute 60% of the overall spending. In slide number eight, it was our attempt to show linkages between expenditure performance and indicators not achieved. Most of the indicators that we listed here, and you'll see that in problem one, about five of those indicators were not achieved, and they are all personnel driven type of indicators in problem two, cost services. 15 indicators were not achieved. 12 of those indicators are supported by personal budget, and 3 of these indicators that do not achieve are supported by infrastructure budget. Same thing with program three, 18 indicators which are all personal driven were not achieved, and they are all personal budget supported. And one indicator in program one was not achieved, which is IJS, CJS related. Let's move to slide nine. Slide nine is at the end of 2019-20, our irregular expenditure amounted to 1.6 billion. And in the following slide, it's the cases that are involved in slide number 10. Let's move to slide 11. Slide 11, Chairperson and members of the committee, is basically showing how our budget was adjusted in 2019-20 during the adjustment budget and in year end. I mean, you can see that about 535 million of our budget was shifted from court infrastructure to fund all these matters listed on the other, on the right-hand side. You see your psychiatric observation, payment of SIU invoices, representing the budget to replace our department's fleet, computer equipment, et cetera, and also about 200 million was shifted from the IJS-CJS budget to fund NPA, as well as the commission. Let's move to slide number 11. This slide basically, colleagues, is a reflection of our first quarter expenditure performance in the current financial year. That's the end of June 2020-21. We had spent about 4.1 billion against our budget of 222 billion. And this budget is a budget that was before the special adjustment budget. Let's move over to slide 13. It's reflecting quarter to quarter spending in a critical format. And the following slide, members of the committee, it's just reflecting expenditure community economic classification on the first question. Slide 17 of my presentation is basically trying to show what are the spending pressures that the department is having in the current financial year and going forward. And we have listed the pressures. One of the greatest pressures that we are having in the department is your psychiatric observation. Expenditure in this regard is escalating in a manner that is becoming uncontrollable. And the budget that was initially allocated to the department by National Treasury for this purpose is far less than what you are spending on yearly basis. The implementation of past legislation also still remains the huge spending pressure. We still are not able as the department to find adequate funding to fund the human trafficking, the implementation of the Human Trafficking Act. Sexual offences also remain a challenge in terms of funding. The implementation of land court bill is also one issue that the department is dealing with, which funding is also appearing to be a challenge. Provision of the security services in the department has been one area also that has been giving us nightmares in terms of adequate funding in this area. There is a special project that we need to embark on as a department dealing with the review of apartheid legislation, and we are still also looking for funding so that we can be able to actively implement this project.
Yes,
okay. No, I'm almost done, Chair. And also, there is also a discussion between the department and public works to deal with the department's takeover of cleaning and tightening services and what Apipax has offered is far inadequate for the government to be able to adequately support this. Next slide is basically dealing with the challenges that the department is facing. The structure and that is still not yet analyzed, is still remaining an issue and vacancies, but this is also made worse by the budget cuts that many departments continue to face and it's a huge challenge that the department is facing. The procurement bottlenecks also have posed a huge challenge in terms of
and being on your way back, maybe you might go to Shoppers and buy
adequately implement
beans. You see, they've got two beans in tomatoes, so it's 2 for 20
rand. The dependence is on DPW in the implementation of the department's court infrastructure budget has also posed quite a number of challenges in terms of the department being able to adequately implement its project. Misaligned planning processes, and this is not only the department's specific problem, but it basically is a systemic problem. You have the budget process starting before the strategic planning processes and many other planning processes coming after the budget process. I think also this is posing challenges when it comes to issues of misalignment. I have spoken to budget cuts. It's a huge problem that the department is facing. Aging workforce in the department has also proven, particularly in the legislative development space, has proven to be a huge problem. And I believe that it's what also NPA is also facing as one of the challenges that both justice and NPA are facing. Thank you, Chairperson. This will be the end of my presentation.
DJ, you are left with 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just as an overview of our personnel-related matters, in the previous financial year, we did not engage any interns, but in the new financial year, we plan to do so. We have now secured funding for this to address the problem of not having interns in the department. So we've budgeted sufficient money. This is on slide 67. When we talk to what we intend to do in 2020 employee relations, that there's a serious problem in respect of the morale of the workforce and the resolution of this within the looking at wrapping up phase one of this investigation or the work of the staff team very shortly. The organizational structure, as we indicated, was on the previous targets which were not achieved, but there are several areas of work that must be finalized. We are re-looking at the macro organization structure with the appointment of the new DDG, Ms. Connie Mamecha. We are going to fast track this project because the implementation of the strategy depends on a proper structure supporting it. In respect of the SMS vacancy rate, we have a 23% vacancy, and we are now going to be dealing with how we fill those posts very quickly. There's been some significant movement, but not enough in order to say that people are in the post. Ms. Mamecha's appointment is one of the significant top executive management appointments. The chief master post will be filled very shortly. It's due to serve in cabinet. We are in the process of approving the 6 heads of state attorneys. The memo has been submitted. It's awaiting approval. And so too are the approval of the regional, the court services heads. At the moment, the chief state law advisor post interviews will take place before the end of the month, and of course the process for the shortlisting of the DG has been finalized, and the interviews will take place before the end of this month as well. In respect of infrastructure, Chairperson, the information is on the slide, and we've ended our relationship with the IDT in respect of the infrastructure project, but there are still significant delays that we encountered with working directly with the Department of Public Works. And I wonder whether JB, you want to come in just to talk for 2 minutes in respect of infrastructure, but I think the detail of that appears in the slides, Chairperson. So the challenges are on slide 79. JB, I wonder if you just want to talk briefly to slide 79 on the challenges, please.
Thanks, Ms. Pillay, and good morning, Chairperson and Portfolio Committee members. I will respond mainly to questions, concerns. Safe to say that the lockdown has had a huge impact on the budget for the infrastructure. On the 855 budget allocated, only a portion of that, less than 50%, will be used for the remainder of the financial year. We're analyzing with also the Chief Justice and to see how best can we basically leverage on the underspenditure. But surely we will be able to respond to the questions by members of the committee. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, I wonder whether you would like us to have our audit committee chair speak very briefly, or would you like it to come in at the end of the presentation?
Yes, she will have her own time. Okay, you can round up and then we'll move to the head of the audit committee.
Okay, Chair, just to wrap up on our presentation, I'm on slide 81. In respect of the internal audit findings and challenges, there were 79 findings on the audit action plan, and as of 31st, over 78% of the interventions were completed. The department is now, due to the recent audit that has taken place now, as to prepare a new audit action plan. The old interventions that were not completed will be included in the new plan. And Mr. Masala was going to lead that task team on the audit action plan, and the implementation thereof is in the room, so he will take questions from the committee members in that regard. And Chairperson, I think the end of the slide, while we have recognized that there must be a broader turnaround strategy, as in fact identified by this committee, we have several issues in respect of our workforce that we need to address in respect of performance management, firstly. We've also noted that in respect of our targets, we have 112 targets last year and even more in the new financial year. And we are going into a new process of planning. And we've since received the secondment and the subsequent transfer of a permanent employee in the strategy monitoring and evaluation unit of the department, and work is underway in respect of firstly the broader departmental turnaround strategy, and Mr. Terence Lasaroka is also on this platform. He will deal with any questions in that regard. And in improving the performance of the department, Chairperson, we recognize that our performance has been extremely poor, made worse by the COVID-19 pandemic. And there's a lot that managers have to do in respect of managing performance, but also in respect of consequence management for in respect of those who have not performed their tasks. And Chairperson, that is my final point. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Chair of the Audit Committee, and welcome.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to yourself and to the members of the committee. I hope I'm audible. From our side, Chair, we just want to point out, first of all, let's start with the not-so-great news and end with the great news. The not-so-great news is that in the year ending 2020, just for a period of 4 months, and we've included that in the audit committee report of the various of justice itself and the funds that are within, to say that for a period of 4 months there was a vacuum in terms of the audit committee, and we understand that is a non-compliance from a governance point of view, and that has been remedied. Chair, it's important just to say from February 2020, then the audit committee was put in place. It is for a period, two periods of 6 months each. So those will be terminating at the end of February 2021. But in the meantime, the acting DG has put in place a process of recruitment of a permanent, not permanent, a three-year term type audit committee as is recommended. And that would mean that from February or 1st of March 2021, you'll have a fully constituted audit committee that will sit for the period of 3 years. So that's an important, not so great point that I wanted to bring to your attention. And in terms of the justice performance, therefore, Chair, we have attempted to meet, and we have held various meetings from the time of the lockdown, even including the month of September. We received the Auditor General report for the three funds that are unqualified and for justice that is qualified. And Chair, immediately, even as I sit here, I received an invitation because the audit committee made recommendations to management that we need to sit down and deal with the contingent liabilities. It does seem, Chair, that the contingent liabilities have presented with such problems for the department in the computation of them. It is a big data type exercise that requires a lot of functions to work together, state attorney, legal department, and also the finance team of justice. And this process has not found itself in a manner of speaking in congruency. It's been disconnected. There has been, maybe I use the word silo approach to it. So we're trying to collapse the silos and bring information to the right people at the right time. What's happening in the contingent liabilities is that then there is registers that are kept that are not properly updated. That's what the audit report says, Chair. So you'll be able to see that for yourself when you read it, the Auditor General's report. So Chair, we'll be meeting on the 20th of October about this matter. On the other matters of the department, Chair, we have been we have written to the Ministry's office to say we need intervention from their side to help with filling up of the posts. And I know Ms. Pillay has already addressed most of what I would have said, Chair, in terms of helping the department forge forward. And and particularly to do that, Chair, they need leadership. They need posts filled. And this is the current turnaround plan, Chair. We will also on probably before the end of October, go through this committed. I know she spoke on the audit turnaround plan. We'll look at the audit turnaround plan. We'll also look, Chair, at the actual departmental turnaround plan, because we need to look at those two strategies. One is a function of the other, but the overall departmental turnaround plan, Chair, the audit committee has to cast an eye on it so that we can monitor it, Chair. I'll end here. In the interest of time, and if there are any questions, I am available all day on this session to either answer the questions or take homework for myself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair of the Audit Committee. I will now invite members to make comments and ask questions. I have the following members who have indicated that they want to ask questions on the chat. Is Honorable Janji as number one, Honorable Glenis Breitenbach, number two, Honorable Masekwa Jele, number three, Honorable Swart, number four, Honorable Nivot Drachens, Honorable Horn, and Honorable Nivot Drachens, and Honorable Mofokeng, in that order.
I have equally raised the hand, sir. I'm not sure if it does not appear that side.
Oh, okay, and then you'll be the last one, Honorable Mona. In that order, Honorable Janji.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity, and I want to also thank the department for the presentation they have made. acting DJ Pillay and your team, as well as the chair of the audit committee. She said something that I think I like. I want to flag. I think that that's what she's going to get here. She spoke about a homework that she must take. I want her to note down. I think she's going to get more homework here. I want to start, Chair. I was looking around, having read and listened to the presentation. I was looking for good news. I could only find one good news. I want to start with it, Chair. Other colleagues can maybe they pick up a lot of good news, but I found one good news and I think I'm happy with it. And that good news, Chair, is that the department has severed its ties with the IDT, the Independent Development Trust, a chronic institution, because we've raised this last year with the department, a chronic institution that has contributed to so many mediocre and to so many problems. So I really want to clap my hands for the department on making sure that you end that relationship with IDT. Unfortunately, the good news with me ends there. I couldn't find any other. So I think they can take that as the good news. And Chair, where I want to start, it's a pity the minister is not... It's
a pity the Mr. Roberts, can you mute yourself?
Yeah, please, Chair, ask them to mute, because the other one was talking about tomato sauce before. So I don't know what we're doing with tomato sauce. We're in a meeting here.
And cooked beans.
Whatever, you know. Thank you, God. So, Chair, I'm saying I had hoped that the minister would be here today, because where I want to start, and a lot of homework is going to him, and I'll raise something at the end. You know, when in October, this time around in 2019, Chair, under your leadership, when we met at the committee in the SARS building, the minister came there without us asking him. Up front, the minister said, in introducing the annual report, he said to us, he has asked the department to start a turnaround plan. And we're very happy, we clapped hands. I just want to say that as we meet here today, we're still waiting for the turnaround plan from the minister. The minister is absent today. 12 months later, we don't have the turnaround plan of the entire department. I'm not talking about all the turnarounds, a turnaround plan of the entire department. We still don't have that. Well, some of the things that made us a chair to say that, I'll give you some brief figures. Because it became clear to us that the minister, who was new at the time, have inherited a problem in this department. And here are some of the figures that will be very interesting. The percentage performance in 2016 was 84%. In 2017, 74%. I want you to take note of this. In 2018, which is what he brought last year, 61%. Today the department is saying that in 2019 is 51%. So what is very clear is that this department is on a downward trend. The minister, that's what he is inherited. But from that meeting in October, when we asked him to do that, this presentation to us today is saying, in fact, the situation is getting worse, and the minister in 12 months has not done anything. There's nothing that is being presented here that is indicating that he has made any intervention. So what you are seeing here is a mess of a department. Actually, when you look at the targets and what has been achieved, I just wrote down Red Sea. Everything is red, and it's worse with the program that I'm going to go to. So I'm very disappointed. I want to raise that disappointment that this department is, instead of improving, it's getting worse. If you look at those figures that I've raised. In fact, Chair, if in this 2019, the 51%, because last week we had a discussion with the NPA, and part of the discussion with the NPA is that we must fast track the process of them being independent, if you remember. Now, if you take the NPA factor out of this 51%, this department is actually less than 50% performance. So it is in that zone. It's in the zone of less than 50% in terms of its performance. In my own, in my watch, in my book, such a department is in a crisis. I don't know how they define themselves. Here we are told that the department has spent 98%. That's how much they have spent. Less than 2% is, before they get to 100. 98% expenditure. And you compare that with the 51% performance. You're not explaining, there's something missing here for me, and I'm curious. 98, you've spent so much, 98%, the performance is actually even 50% or less if you take out the NPA. That reminds me, while listening to Zondo, that reminds me of what is happening in the province of Bernard Horn, where 100% of money can be spent on housing, there's no house on the ground. That is the Free State. So when I read this thing of this department of 98% and 51%, you get to get that kind of a sense. And so I think that we, because they are saying to us 757 million, that is going to be returned, because that is underspending, 758 million. That is a standalone department. If they don't know that money can run a department. Being a former MEC for housing, with that kind of money, I would build as close as 15,000 40 plus square meter houses with that money. That is what they are not able to do as this department, to just indicate further the kind of crisis that you have in this department. They've also highlighted as a challenge the issue of the budget cuts. So now they are now almost complaining that there are budget cuts coming. Of course, if you are not able to spend 758 million, I think I'll be the first to ask Treasury and everybody else, please go take money from the Justice Department. They don't need it. They don't need it. Can we take that money and send it somewhere else? So that they start from zero base, because their base is affected, they don't need this kind of money, it's too much for them. So they can't come here and even complain about budget cuts, because there's nothing that they are doing. Even more chronic, Chair, in terms of the personnel and performance. We are told here that we have got SMS vacancy rate of 23%. The senior management structure, SMS vacancies of 23%. I'm not surprised about that, because last year we had an acting DG, we had a DG who was on his way out. We have been having this acting DG, Mr. Kosana acted, is now Mr. Pillay. And you can see that what we are presenting. We're being told of a process 12 months later. Was the master thing, everything else we are told is now there's a process. Nobody has been appointed. There's a process to appoint a DG in cabinet. There's a process for this. There's a process for this. And really, even that process, it is not even clear, Chair. But almost everybody in this department is acting. So this is the department of actors. All they need is a stage. Because everybody here is acting. I don't know who is not acting. They can share that with us. I've been looking around. And then in that presentation, something even more fundamental, Chair. The department says every month they had a monthly monitoring program, Chair. They had a monthly monitoring program. And yet the result is zero or close to zero. So I don't know what they were monitoring every month. So it means that their monitoring itself was mediocre, was ineffective, because they've been busy monitoring, but it doesn't show in the results. And from where I'm sitting, as an oversight person, what counts for anybody is the result and impact. It's not the process that you get in. So you can tell us as much as you want about monthly monitoring issues. If it comes to zero, it means nothing. And let me go, Chair, to a program two. Program two is about court services. That's what program two is about. And program two, Chair, because I'm declaring my interest, that's where my focus is. Being a member of the Magistrate Commission, being involved in the others, one is interested about how effective the courts are that are under this department. So from the presentation that we have received here from Ms. Pillay, that is why I'm calling it the Red Sea. Everything, Chair, is red. They are not able to achieve anything in terms of that program. We are going to be, as part of our program, going to be going into the bills, the public hearings, and a discussion about that. When the department came, we said the biggest danger for this public, for these bills, is whether you have the capacity as a department to ensure that once these bills are enacted, things are happening. You have a string of targets. I don't even want to go because I'll be eating your time, but each and every target, instead of green or amber, it is red. They've not been able to achieve. And that is the heartbeat of this department. Your court services, it's an essential service. The NPA depends on these courts. The Magistrate Commission depends on these courts. The police service depends on these courts. Whether it is about court buildings, whether it's about sexual offenses, which is a big challenge in the country, they are failing on that. So you ask yourself, what are they succeeding on as a department? So basically what you have here, Chair, you have a systemic problem in this department. Hence, I think that the minister would have been here to assist us. There's a systemic problem that we have. That is not going to be solved, unfortunately, Ms. Pillay, by you reviving the targets, by you doing this and this. There's a much deeper problem. I therefore want to make two suggestions, Chair, as I end. I want to make two suggestions because I certainly don't have a question. The only question I thought I should have, which I'm no longer even wanting to do, is a curious question I asked from the NPA, the question about the issue of the foreign language services, which is in this department under the language section. There's a big problem out there around this foreign language. I get that in Home Affairs, I get it here as well. I raised it last week that for a local translation or interpretation, they are charging 114 per interpreter, 114 rand. But for foreign language, and I want Ms. Pillay to confirm this, whether I'm getting my facts wrong. For foreign language interpretation, it is anything between 1,000 rand and 1,800. So, and I wanted to demonstrate why this discrepancy in terms of how much money is given to issues of local languages and how much money is given to interpretation of foreign language, because there's a big corruption in that space. My two suggestions, proposals are the following, Chair. I want to suggest, Chair, that we ask the Minister to come to the Portfolio Committee. He's not here today. He's not feeling well, fine. Speedy recovery, let's say that. But we are not going to stop there. We want the Minister, because he made a promise in October with us. We want the Minister to come back to this Portfolio Committee before the end of this year, and you look into your program, whether that is possible in November. He must come back firstly and report to us where is his turnaround plan that he promised us in October 2019. Secondly, for him to tell us what is he doing about a department under his watch that is failing so dismally with this downward trend that we're seeing. That would be my first. In fact, it's not even a turnaround plan at this stage, Chair. I think we must call it a rescue plan. This department must be rescued. It is falling. In fact, if as a former executive myself, a department that is in this trend, he should be making a memo ready for cabinet for this department to be under administration, section 100, because it is failing almost in every aspect of it. Then my second proposal, Chair, as I am, you know, you convened us in February. You convened all parties, all members of this portfolio committee in a strategic workshop in February. In that workshop in February, we came to a conclusion. We even asked members who were there before us, how did the mess of the justice come to this point, if you remember? We made that kind of an assessment. And therefore, I'm making this point because it's very clear that there might also be a failure in the oversight role as well. The fact that things, as we assess them in February, we're asking ourselves, how could these things come to this point? Because up until even now, we are dealing with what you call matters arising. We're not such a new program. We're dealing with old problems that we have inherited as the portfolio committee. So my concrete second proposal, Chair, is that as a portfolio committee, we need to write to the Public Service Commission. To the Public Service Commission, the Public Service Commission must come in front of this portfolio committee in relation to the systemic problems in the Justice Department. So they are able to share with us what have they picked up, what are they doing, because at least as members of this committee, as oversight members, we have picked up a lot of things. We're not even allowing SCOPA to do that because we're playing our oversight role. I want to make that suggestion that we invited the Public Service Commission to come in front of this portfolio committee, and that could be when the minister comes with his rescue plan to us, and when he comes and explains where he's lost the plot in this department. He's certainly inherited a problem, but my gripe is that he doesn't seem to have arrested that problem that he has inherited. What assistance does he need? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Glenys Breidenbach.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much. I must agree with Honorable Yankee that this report is dismal. Really, really dismal. It's extremely concerning. It's a matter for deep concern. The irregular expenditure of almost 1.2 billion. What is some more precise detail on how this is going to be addressed and ameliorated? It's really the detail is way too scrappy, and I need a lot more detail on that. The decline in performance is extremely worrying. I would like a much more specific detail, and even if it's supplied in writing, but much more specific detail on how this abysmal performance is going to be addressed. It can't be done, I don't think, in the space of one morning, and I'm not at all sure that it's been dealt with even remotely adequately in this report. And, you know, COVID cannot be used as an excuse for everything. We've spent a long time now, 6 months plus, dealing with COVID. The upside of that, of course, is that everybody's had plenty of time to deal with issues that doesn't require you to be present in your office. And many of these issues should have been addressed during this time when we had this opportunity. When you were sitting at home, you had many hours in the day to address these issues. The virtual platforms are available to everybody. We live in the 21st century. COVID cannot be an excuse for not getting your job done. And it cannot explain away these dismal figures. So please, some more detail on how this absolutely abysmal performance is going to be turned around. I agree with the Honourable Nancy. I'm not sure it's a turnaround. It's a rescue operation. Almost a starting from the very beginning again. It's so broken that it's probably best to just start over. Then the Levant comes on the back of three qualifier audits, gives us a commitment to work towards an unqualified audit. This commitment has come to a little more than naught. And there's no real explanation for this in this report. In a number of areas, there were just no performance whatsoever, no achievements. This requires a much more detailed explanation than the one we got today. Justice College is a shambles. Now, Justice College is an important component of the Department of Justice. It provides support, training, research support, so much in the way of essential services to prosecutors, to judges, to court staff, to young prosecutors, to specialist prosecutors in niche areas, and it's a shambles. And it's 6 months or more of no production. Why has this been allowed to happen, and how is it going to be addressed? And also, can somebody explain to me, we have the Solicitor General, I'm told, with us, and this post is filled by someone who's acting. It's a new position. Why is the person acting? Why has this appointment not been made? I do recall that you dealt with this briefly some time ago. I don't recall the detail. But why is this still an acting position? The master's officers, I spend a good portion of every working day dealing with members of the public who have issues with the shambles that is the master's office. This is nothing new. It's been like this for years now, years, many, many years. Again, why has this been allowed to descend into this abyss? Can we not have more detail, please? Specific detail, not platitudes, specific detail on how this dysfunctionality in the master's office is going to be turned around. And then the National Action Plan to Combat Racism, Racial Discrimination, Xenophobia and related matters is a critical MTSF target. Yet the department says it has not met any of the targets for the National Action Plan in the fourth quarter of 2019-2020. Not any. What is the problem here? What progress is being made to turn this particular ship around? How is it going to be addressed? How is it going to be ramped up? This is so important. We find ourselves in a position in our country today where this is of critical importance. Yet no targets are met. I mean, what is happening at the department? Is anyone home? It's really, it's quite flabbergasting. The department has reduced the target for middle management services posts occupied by Africans and women from 65% for Africans and 48% for women to 59% for Africans and 46% for women. Why is that? Why? And at the same time, the target for people with disabilities has been reduced from 3% to 2.2%. Why? What is the explanation for this? What is the current position with regard to the suspension of the Chief Financial Officer? In May 2020, we were told that disciplinaries would be instituted within 60 days. It's now nearly the end of October. By any calculation, that is a lot longer than 60 days. Where are we with those disciplinary hearings? What is the progress? When can we expect an outcome? And then the committee has several times now asked for the SNG Grant Thornton report with regards to the Bosasa security contract. It has not been furnished. Two questions. Why not? And when will we receive it? And I mean when, like today, tomorrow, or Friday. Not longer than that. When will we receive it? This committee cannot continue asking for things and not receiving them. Why have we not received that report? Also, the state attorney's offices. Everybody knows the state attorney's office is in deep, deep trouble. Huge problems. AGSA reports that non-compliance by the state attorney with supply chain management prescripts has rendered a system that is not fair, not equitable, and not transparent, and not cost-effective. We're talking about the state attorney's offices. I'm not talking about some sort of minor component of it. The state attorney's offices of the Republic of South Africa. The supply chain management system has resulted in a system that is not fair, not equitable, not transparent, and not cost-effective. It cannot be. How does this happen? On whose watch did this happen? How did it happen? How did it get here? What are the plans to address this issue? How are we going to fix it? You know, I have pages and pages of questions. I'm going to leave it there. If my colleagues don't cover me, I'll submit them in writing. But I can only express my deep concern. Deep, deep concern. I don't know how, and I don't expect the department to do this on their own. Of course, we must do whatever we can to assist them. That's our job. I'm not often at a loss for words, but I'm very close to one now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Breitenbach. Honorable Noma Themba, Masako Jele.
Thank you, Chairperson. I can't say, Chairperson, that I'm feeling good about this presentation, because really we are, as the colleagues have already indicated, you know, last week we were so feeling good and we had two reports that really made us feel much better, that we are seeing a progress with the institutions that we are overseeing. And then also, but today, this is embarrassing, Chairperson. I think Corporate Judge said a lot about what is happening. I'm sure he was trying to make us feel good or better when he was saying he sees one thing good. Honorable Judge, I agree with you. I see the Red Sea only. And in this case, I'm not sure who is leading, who is opening this Red Sea for us, because Moses is no longer here. So, Chairperson, when we look at this, the presentation, from 61% to 51%, and that 51% has already been explained by Comrade Jaji, that it is not in reality 51%. It is really embarrassing. You know, when you read this presentation, you look for understanding, you don't struggle, it's there. You look for irregular expenditure, it is there, Chairperson. You look for non-compliance, it is there, Chairperson. Talk less of vacancy rate, which is 23%. Chairperson, with us, the committee, we always worry when there is a responsibility that we have to do in terms of doing our interviews and all that, and we push things, we work so hard. But I can see that the department does not have that feeling, does not have that sense of doing things in a manner that we get good results when we come to this point. I'm not sure, I'm looking at this one, this issue of 30 days payment, Chairperson, it has always been on this presentation. We have requested that this is one issue that is impacting on the small companies. And those small companies, most of them, are the companies that are trying their best to get into the economy. And these are the ones that are contributing a lot in the economy. And that's where we see the department also failing. 10%. But I don't know, because I hear that the Comrade Dante mentioned the issue of monthly monitoring mechanism that they have. How do they can have 30 days, I mean to say monthly monitoring mechanism, whilst they still have 30 days non-payment of companies? It's not fair, Chairperson. This has to be reversed. You look for the increase of backlog. It is there. It cannot be said, Chairperson, that it is what is happening, the situation that is happening now is we must say it is because of COVID. When you look at these reports, these things happened even before COVID-19. It these are the things that has always been there. It has been said. I can't even repeat that. Most painful one, Chairperson, program one, administration, that one program, the department achieved 18% on its target, Chairperson. The target, that is very important. Please tell us, this target deals with the issue of governance. And they get 18%. I don't want to talk about other targets, because there is only red sea. It has already been indicated. And there is no explanation, at least good explanation of exactly what happened. What happened? We are here. There is no remedial actions or risk mitigation strategies that has been implemented to address all those challenges. Indeed, Chairperson, we're in trouble. We are definitely in trouble. When the presenter here is crying about the budget cut, I'm sure that one, we must look forward to it. Comrade Dante already mentioned that. How dare you say there must not be a budget cut when we have such a report on the budget? The whole irregular expenditure of 1.2 almost billion, Chairperson. Also 366 million, which is related, they are saying is related to building of high court. We still have to get the report on this one, Chairperson, on the SIU, exactly what is happening here. They are saying 367 million of that amount relates to maintenance, contract for security infrastructure. And this, Chairperson, it is a non, when you look at the whole report today, it's a non-compliance. It deals with all, there's a lot of non-compliance that has taken place here. But they are reporting it as irregular expenditure. Chairperson, without waste of time, I'm also going to leave for my colleagues to be able for us, I'm not sure if we're going to cross this Red Sea. We need a leader, CPA, Chairperson. That will take us through the Red Sea. We can't cross this Red Sea. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Jale. Honorable Stephen Swartz.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the colleagues. Thank you to the ACNDG. And you have heard scathing criticism, which is justified in my opinion. And from my side, I just want to echo the sentiments that my colleagues have expressed. I do also support the views of Honorable Deonti in saying that we need to also improve our oversight, given that I've been on this committee almost 20 years and this is one of the poorest reports I've ever seen. So I would urge every official that is watching this to try to improve their performance whilst understanding the critical role that the Department of Justice plays in our nation at this time of economic retraction and spreading crime. We have to improve our performance, and I would urge you to have deep introspection as to how that can be done. So I echo the sentiments that have been expressed by my colleagues, but we need to find a way, Chair, to come alongside and to see how we can improve the situation with far deeper oversight. limited time, maybe we might need written responses, but I did want more information on the temporary suspension of the CFO that has been asked. I would like information about something that I've continuously raised, and that is the debt that is owed the Department of Justice by various government departments. According to the report, it's $668.7 million. And what steps is being taken to recover those amounts? And given the increased pressure on government departments, whether this is escalating or not. Then we have had complaints, as was expressed by the Honourable Breitenbach about the Master's Office. I'd also like a briefing on the $10 million that was hacked from the Guardian's Fund via what appears to be a cyber attack at Peter Maritzburg Master's Office, whether, bearing in mind that the state, that is the taxpayer, has to stand in for any funds that are lost via the Guardian's Fund, what action has been taken to address this, to prevent any further cyber attacks and to recover those funds. The issue of the state attorney has briefly been raised, and I'd like the acting Solicitor General to give us an indication of steps to improve the state attorney's whole existence almost, and the complaints that have been expressed by many judgments. If one looks at Eastern Cape more recently, about the manner of medical legal matters, how one is going to deal with that going forward. I would also like a briefing, and this might forward in the domain of the officer of the Chief Justice, and we'll raise that as well. But we know that the Gauteng High Court Pretoria has basically been hit by what can be said an infrastructure collapse, with the dire state there, and whether that is for a very basic thing such as email access after a massive system failure on the 21st of September. We understand that judges are at their wit's end, that they don't even have internet access. And this, please advise us exactly what courts do not have internet access, whether this has been sorted out or not, and how can we expect the courts to operate if something as basic as this is, particularly in a lockdown period, Wi-Fi access, email access. We understand contacts were not, private contractors engaged to manage technology have left. Is this correct? The contractor's role in managing case lines. What has happened with these issues, given that most of this work has to be done now online? Then, Chair, this is an issue which there is an apparent shortage of judges, and this is something we might have to raise at the Judicial Services Commission as well, where there are urgent matters, urgent applications, and there are just insufficient roles, insufficient judges, and this is now particularly in Gauteng. This has a massive impact on judiciary and on justice, and we need to focus on that, and it's also an issue that we need to raise with the Office of the Chief Justice. The issue of court hours. Please give us an indication of how this can be improved. Yes, it lies mainly with the judiciary themselves, but can it be acceptable if the norms set by the Chief Justice are 4 hours, 30 minutes, and we are, in, for example, district court only sitting just on 3 hours? Clearly, that impacts very negatively on the delivery of justice. There again are so many questions, but I would like to also just raise the issue that a lot of the decline in the performance occurred before the impact of COVID-19. And I think this is a very, very important issue that we need to bear in mind. So there must be an improvement. And yes, there have been one or two areas where there has been a slight improvement, but generally it is a dismal, dismal performance. And we've got, and we see the challenges of structures, vacancies, procurement bottlenecks, misaligned planning measures, recognition that a lot needs to be done to improve this department. But Chair, I'm sure that there are many other issues that we can raise, but due to limited time, I will just raise these issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chair. And let me at the outset say, and it's of course to be expected that I want to add my voice to those colleagues who have expressed dismay at the level of performance of this department, and specifically the disastrous backslide we've seen over the last year or so. I don't think we can be accused as a portfolio committee of over-exaggerating if we say that the picture that is painted by this report is really one of a department teetering over a cliff. I mean, the Honourable Jayanti has indeed indicated that we are in need of a rescue plan rather than a turnaround strategy, and I think he is spot on in respect of that observation. And Chair, the reality is that with the current setup, and if one looks at the brief report we've received in respect of the annual performance plan, it is simply a case of the department thinking that this is business as usual. And the reason why I say this is colleagues would recall that we were very critical at the start of this parliament when we received, in respect of last year's annual performance plan, the briefing about the way the department has simply got on and adjusted downwards their own targets because they were not met in the previous financial year. And yet what we see here today in the face of this pathetic performance is another downward adjustment in respect of performance targets. So if we talk about this rescue plan, Chair, I think what should also happen is that the absolute core functions of this department, the bare essentials, the essence of the services they should deliver should be identified. And as part of this rescue plan, we should insist on clear, workable, not theoretic solutions to these problems. And let me maybe just, because other colleagues have really by and large addressed the issues coming from the report, but I want this department and South Africans to know that we understand that this is not an academic exercise here today. I mean, the Honorable Breitenbach has referred to herself spending a part of every working day dealing with master's queries. And I can confirm that's the same on my side. And what this department must understand is that they are dealing with people who depend on being assisted by the master. That's why that institution has the name of the Master of the High Court. It's supposed to look after those children who do not have fathers, those families who have lost a provider. And it's failing these South Africans in the fact that they simply seems to be unable to issue simple matters like letters of executorship and, what is even worse, to communicate with families as to why this is not happening. And that has a very real practical impact on the lives of people who have suffered death. If they don't, from their side, act in an unlawful manner before they try and report and open up the estates, in an unlawful manner, withdraw monies from accounts, which is going to be part of the estate, then they really sit without food. I mean, we can't go on just being reported that we are addressing the issues at the master's office. I mean, another practical example, and there's a clear correlation, in my view, as to the proliferation of complaints we are receiving about maintenance payments and the deterioration of the Department of Justice. Another portion of every day is now being spent about people asking, can't you from your side, don't you have a contact within the maintenance system who can assist? If one visits offices, and I have now visited them, the maintenance court offices and the administration offices in Bloemfontein twice, it is not acceptable to just expect of people to put aside a day of their working lives to go and sit in a queue in the hope of being helped. And I don't want to fight today here with the Deputy Minister, but he, in the briefings during lockdown, assured us that the issues in East London specifically was a regional once-off issue. But still today, as we sit here, the very same people that at that stage complained still report that the issue has not been sorted out completely. So, Chair, that's the reality. It has a very real impact on the lives of South Africans, the fact that this department has now joined the ranks of the dysfunctional, because that's as simple as it is. Maybe a few pertinent issues, Chair. This department is also made of our president, and I've said it in my budget speech earlier this year, and I'm going to repeat it here today. They've made of our president a liar. He has assured South Africans that whilst we are awaiting, and maybe in addition to the Honourable Jainki's one positive, I think the other positive over the last few months is the fact that for once the three GBV bills seem to have been somewhat expedited, and it's now with us, and we will obviously have to embrace that duty to try and finalise it as speedily as possible. But whilst the President informed South Africans, and specifically women and children suffering at the hands of abusers, that this government is now serious about this issue, then the National Sex Offenders Register, which is supposed to be made public, the President has informed South Africans that it's about to happen, then the 26% performance in respect of auditing the sex offenders register versus a target of 90% happens. And like the Honourable Breitenbach has said, I would have thought that's specifically one thing that could have continued apace during lockdown. So the question must be asked, why is there, in the face of the President identifying this as a priority, just no performance? The same with the rollout of sexual offences scores. A target of 16, performance of 13, and if my memory serves me correct, and I tried to find it quickly here this morning and I couldn't, so I may be wrong, but I don't think I am, the 13 was achieved somewhere in 2019 already. So once again, as other colleagues have asked, this department foresee that this lockdown is coming and has started to pack up and go home long before the lockdown, or what happened in the fourth quarter of the previous financial year? Then, Chair, coming to also the knock-on effect of the near implosion of this department, and that's the working conditions of the staff of the Department of Justice. So, like the Honourable Jainki said, we're glad that the connect.
sorry, Honorable Horn. Sorry, my apologies. My apologies, Honorable Horn. Honorable both Jackson's.
Thank you, Chairperson. thank you. Good morning to everyone who is present. I would like to add what colleagues already have said and register my disappointment of with regards to what has been presented to us. And in the presentation, I was waiting for reasons why the targets are not met. It's not enough just to say that the targets aren't met and then you give us numbers. I want to know why each and every target that was not achieved, the reasons why. We need to unpack it there for an explanation to us why it has not been achieved so that we can see what is needed for the department to reach its targets. I feel it's not enough to reduce the number of targets. Because all the underlying problems will still be there and the targets will still not be met. So I know it's going to be a lot and I know it's a lot of targets to go through, but I need an explanation of why these targets have not been met one by one. Then secondly, what I wanted to ask the chair of the audit committee. The chair of the audit committee said that there was a vacuum in the audit committee. Now that the vacuum will be filled from March 2021. I mean, that's five months from now. So what has the audit committee, what have you got planned to do within these 5 months until that vacuum is filled? What are you going to do to improve the situation? Then presenters talk about the aging workforce, but we have so many youth that are unemployed. You said you previously had 300 interns. Now, where are those interns now that can become the youthful workforce in the department? And it's the same thing with the youth that can then learn from the aging workforce, so that when the aging workforce leaves, they have work in place and everything else is in place, but you don't make mention of that. Mm-hmm. And then honorable members already covered me in terms of the Guardian Fund. I wanted to know the 10 million, has it been recovered or not? And it's very worrying to see that one of the things that will be done, where the department said that they will take over the cleaning of the garden services from DPW or DPWI. I mean, that is not the function of the Justice Department. Why are you taking this over? Why can't you meet your own targets? And now you're looking at taking over the responsibility of cleaning the garden. I mean, how are justice going to be able to achieve their own targets if they have to take over the functions of another department? I mean, you need to talk to each other. You need to talk to the Department of Public Works. It's their job. Justice cannot take over the function of other departments if they can't even achieve their own targets. And then I see you're still working on a policy with regard to the foreign languages. Now, I'm talking about local languages, like Honorable Richard Janke said. My worry is that what is not done about our own African languages. Yesterday, I went to Malmesbury, and the councillors there are concerned that there are no isiXhosa interpreters. It's only Afrikaans interpreters in the court, but the people don't necessarily understand Afrikaans. And yeah, we should have African language interpreters there. Now, what are we doing about our own language interpreters who are present? Are we checking? Are we keeping an audit to make sure that our own African language interpreters are there? And it's not just for foreign languages that we are worried about, because we need to look at the locals as well. And my last point, Honorable Chair,
with regard to the corona related things. In quarter one and now quarter two as well, what is the total expenditure for corona related issues? And then also, does the department contribute to the COVID relief fund for for the sheriffs? Yeah, thank you. The COVID relief fund, do they contribute to that? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Nebot Drachens, Honourable Jackie Mofuke.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Chair, I want to align myself with my colleagues that the department's report is very disappointing, but I want to start by wishing the Minister a speedy recovery, and we hope that he will be able to come and be able to account. And we all know that oversight of the department is our responsibility, and we cannot betray the citizens of South Africa by closing our eyes. And in that, I'm joining my colleagues by saying that the last week was the best week, you are right, Honorable Nomathemba Dele, that all the institutions, starting with SIU, Public Protector's Office, Legal Aid, Information, Regulator, JICS, and all that, they made us happy. But then you come to a mother body, it's disappointing, and you ask yourself, where? What is the problem there? The center doesn't hold there. I noted that matters that need that need urgent attention. Honorable Breitenbach and Honorable Janji raised the issue when it comes to the vacancies that are not filled. It has been some time. And for the department to pass the test of time and do something work, it should be a must that they must be filled to this position. We cannot forever come here and talk about this position that we don't see the light, the end of the tunnel. But it also goes to the issue of the audit committee that has been raised by now Honorable Enivo Drachen also. And I want to say that to the audit committee, we should have a stable one. We should know that they have appointed the audit committee that is going to be, most of them are 3 years or whatever. But this thing of the audit committee that is, we don't know whether it is there or it's not there, it doesn't make the department stable. And that is where we need to actually say that the audit committee is something that we need to flag. I align myself with my colleagues, especially on the issue of the irregular expenditure, 1.4 billion. And we are told that there are external investigations and internal investigations. Can we be updated with that? And if they are there, where are they taken to? Who is charged? Is there anybody who's been actually disciplined or any measures that have been taken? Because we cannot just get information of saying there's something happening, but we don't get anything. Honorable Swart has covered me in the issue of the court infrastructure. And it was very disturbing that you get a judge that writes, actually have an open letter about the complaints, about the unhappiness of not having the business tools. I mean, who doesn't want to have an access to internet and you're expected to deliver? Then the question will be, are you winning on the issues of the backlogs in the court? That would be a challenge. My colleagues have covered me, especially starting with Comrade Janji, Comrade Breitenbach, Honorable Swart, and Honorable Horn, on the issue of the master's office. You know, we heard that the master's office, there were challenges in Cape Town, Johannesburg, and Pretoria. And recently we heard that the SIU is busy. We want to get an update on that. What is happening? Who is founding the department? Because my colleagues are correct, especially Honorable Horn, who says that maybe the master's office must change the name, because it's supposed to be the one that cares for the nation and is the one that is actually making people even more hurt. There's nothing that hurts when you find a widow going to the master's office and just actually find the mess and not being assisted. It's something that needs to be sorted out. I would align myself with my, especially my Honorable Janji, on two issues that you raised, and I want us to be flagging them, Honorable Chesterton. The issue of the Public Service Commission, we need to rope in the Public Service Commission. It cannot be business as usual that we cannot use one of our Chapter 9 institutions to zoom into the department and tell us what is happening, because the minister comes in and then there's a show of saying that things are going to be right, and we find that your performance has dropped. Something is wrong in the department. He might have a good plan or had actually planning on doing a lot of things, but something is not right in the department, because we cannot allow that the performance of the department drops like this. It will be an issue of why the other minister was there. They were on 65%. Now this one comes, we are on 45% or 46%. The issue of this acting chief master, the acting DG, we are told now in the report that you have finalized on the interviews. But I can tell you that you are going to take another 3 months before you come and tell us that somebody's in the office. Let us be assured today that you will be having somebody in that position in few months' time or weeks, because it cannot be business as usual. Want to know about the truth and reconciliation, because you had a department's obligation to embark on a community rehabilitation, and we don't hear anything now. The other thing is about the treaty report that was supposed to be tabled with DECO. You missed your targets. Can you tell us when are you going to be putting measures in place to get this going? You also failed on the national action plan to combat racism, and this needs attention, because in this country we are still suffering racism and xenophobia, and the target is not met too. And we want to go out there and tell people that we are dealing with racism and xenophobia. I don't think we are not doing anything good in that. And therefore, I will request Chesterton, that is one of those things that we must start flagging and say that we are going to do things better. Chair, I want to leave on that. I've been covered by my colleagues, and I'm saying that we must change things that are happening in the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpuke. Honorable Mona.
Thanks, Chair. No, Chair, I will be wasting time. I agree with everything that was said by all the honorable members who spoke. So I won't be wasting any time, but just it's safe to say we are indeed evaluating a serious administrative speedy pit. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mola. I will give now the department, the minister, the deputy minister, and his department. I will give you 2 minutes to confer amongst yourself, which will serve as a comfort break, and then we will start with the GM to answer questions or make comments or delegate to anyone who would be doing that in his team. Can we come back at 11:43? Forgotten. Honorable Breedenbach.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, I just got this information now, and I just need to know if it's true or not. So my question is this, the 10 million theft of the, at the Guardian Fund, I'm told that the account has been frozen due to the SIU investigation, that this was done before anybody was paid out for this month. And this includes minors of deceased parents and other people who are in serious need. So normally the payment should be made between the 1st and the 7th of each month. However, to date, nobody, and particularly no minor, has been paid. And no one can tell them when they will be paid. Is this so? And if it is so, how are they going to address this? It's a very urgent issue. Thank you.
And if it is so, why was there no communication? Honourable Deputy Minister.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to all the members for their inputs. And indeed, the decline of the department's performance is of I'm sure we'd be able to come before the end of the year. Just to say that I think that one of the problems has been the issue of the leadership vacuum, in that the former DG actually left before he actually left. So there was an acting DG even before DG Maronsela had actually left. That was because he was going for ambassadorial training, but the position could not be advertised until he'd actually been received the ambassadorship position and taken it up. But I think the absence of a director general and a number of actings, it's been Ms. Pillay and Advocate Skorsana, who I think have done their best, but as some of the members have said, it's not easy in an acting position of such a big department. Some of the senior posts have or are being filled. So the DDG for corporate services, that position has been filled. I think it was with effect from the 1st of September. A lot of complaints have been raised about the master's office, the chief master's position. Is in the process. I think Honourable Muffel King complained how long would that take. The interviews were done some time ago. I think it was about 3 months ago. So it hopefully will be finalised pretty soon. Those appointments are made at the level of Cabinet. So I just sort of wanted to put that by way of background. Some of the issues, so for example, Honourable Jainkis raised the issue of the underspending, and I think that the officials need to go through, I mean, it is on page 49, the different categories, a large portion of it being on capital expenditure, the magistrate's salaries, which I think related to it taking longer to employ permanent magistrates and so on. So I think that the officials need to explain that detail. There is, I note, I think with a lot of the issues, the department would need to come back. I note Honourable Nivo Bhushan's request of explanations for the underperformance. There was an explanation given for the underperformance for quarter one, and yes, it wasn't for the previous for the previous year. One of the issue is just a lot was made about the unpaid invoices, and yes, the target was not reached, but it was not reached by 1%. So yes, obviously for the target not to be reached, the target of 100% not to be reached is problematic, but it was 99%. The Gauteng High Court issues, I think it wasn't an open letter from the judge. I think it was a private WhatsApp message that got leaked. But in any event, it should have been made public. So I think what the judge did was correct. But I think if you could raise that with the Office of the Chief Justice, because that falls under their area. I'm glad that the officials and senior officials were here to listen to the complaints, because a lot of these complaints have been made before, either by yourselves as the portfolio committee or from the ministry's side. Just to highlight on the sex offenders register being made public, that's in the legislation. So that's not something I think Honourable Horne possibly misunderstood. I think the president's issue was that shouldn't this register be made public? Currently, the legislation does not provide for that. In the bill that's before you, there is provision for that, and you need to engage on that. But yes, it is a concern, particularly for me, that we're going to be extending the scope of the register, and yet the performance is so dismal with what we've got already, and it's going to then get worse because there's more people whose names are going to be put on the register, because the bill is for it to apply to all sexual offences, people committing sexual offences, and it will be a wider group of employers who will be applying for the certificates of employment from the registrar. So that is of concern, and that's something that has been raised with the department. The issue of, look, on the maintenance issues in the Eastern Cape, I did go down to East London, and I have been monitoring. I think they are largely resolved. They were as a result of one, a crash in Mojopay in the system, which affected the whole country, and two, the migration from the JDAS account to the Mojopay account, which has happened in other provinces and happened at the same time in KwaZulu-Natal. It's interesting that it was only about seven courts that were affected, not the whole of the Eastern Cape. I'd like Honourable Horne to, I was going to in fact be going to the Free State later this week, but that's been postponed. But I'd like the Honourable Horne to give me more details of the problems in Bloemfontein. But one of the problems with the Eastern Cape that was a very valid concern was the lack of communication from the department. On the issue of backlogs, look, the current COVID situation, and it has made everything a lot worse, particularly in the master's office, in that whilst we try to keep the courts open as much as possible, a large number of courts were closing every day because of COVID. That is still happening, but a lot less. I was just looking at our website, and I think it's one court in the Northwest that is still closed today. But even the head office was closed at the end of last week and had to have floors sanitized because of COVID. But I mean, part of the problem has also been during the higher backlog period, staff were rotating. That rotation only came to an end recently. And I think there are still some concerns in some areas with it, but it doesn't help the ability to deliver when you've only got half your staff present. On the issue of the court performance, I mean, just to say, it wasn't a specific question, although issues were raised about the backlogs. We have a court optimization committee, which I chair, which consists of representatives of the regional court presidents, the chief magistrates, the department itself, the South African Police Service, legal aid, the prosecuting authority, and correctional services and social development. And that is meeting monthly, and there are various actions or issues looked at. Some provinces are taking the initiative. You might have seen in the Star that the judge president the regional court president of Limpopo has embarked on a 100-day plan to expedite the hearing of divorces. because apparently during COVID, where people had to stay together more than they usually did, but couples, married couples, decided they didn't like each other, and the number of divorces has gone up higher. So she's launched a program, a 100-day program, to expedite the finalization of divorces in the regional court in Limpopo. But Chair, I agree, and I note the committee's concerns, and we will take this back to the minister. But I think then officials should respond on some of the areas of those that they cannot respond on, if those can be submitted in writing. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, DJ and your team.
Thank you, Chairperson. There are three of my colleagues that I'd like to assist in some of the answers, and I will also answer the last bit that will be left over. Can I ask that Advocate Skosana answer on the challenges and his observations on non-performance during quarter four and quarter one, and also to answer on the question of infrastructure and the spending, please. JB, if you can come in, please.
Thank you, Excellency Chair. Good afternoon, Chairperson and members of the committee. I'm struggling to put my camera on. Nonetheless, I will continue. Thank you, Chair. I've noted all questions that pertain to Program 2, court performance, and we will those which basically require written response will do so. Because we do have the report, and we did make an analysis of the causes of underperformance in respect of each area of non-performance, and I think we'll be able to share that with the committee as part of the written response. Just to go on the specific questions which have been raised, let me start with the question of the foreign language interpretation services. I must say that local language interpreters are appointed permanently by the courts. So it's only those ones we call casual interpreters, which were paid on a difference of 114 rands per day, whilst the foreign language interpreters were paid higher. But there was a practice which basically we've stopped. They were not paid higher. I think they were paid even lower than the local interpreters. But what was the practice is that all the foreign language interpreters used to go to interpret in the courts outside their district as part of augmenting their income. So they would then claim for the traveling, and they would then claim for the S&T, even above the 28 rands an hour or so, that the 128 rands they used to get a day or so. So that has been stopped with the beginning of this financial year. The DG have issued a circular which basically provides for uniform tariffs for all the interpreters, and those are daily tariffs. And we have also made a more position in terms of indicating that foreign language interpreters will only render services within their provinces of residence. So, and that was one of the benefits of the lockdown, because there were no flights, people couldn't travel across the provinces. So all the foreign language interpreters and the national language interpreters were locked in within their provinces, and they all started basically to get the uniform tariffs which have been set out, and will communicate the amount of the tariff as part of the recent response that we are going to give your committee members, etc. With regard to infrastructure, I also need to say that the termination of the mandate of the IDT was in relation to other new courts that would have built on behalf of the department. As you know, they've done four courts, which is Boysen, Plattenberg Bay, as well as the two high courts, Limpopo and Mpumalanga. And they had a full list of eight courts which they were supposed to build and were terminated that mandate, so that basically we only limit them to these four courts. In terms of Plattenberg Bay and poisons, that mandate have been finalized, has completely been transferred to public works and infrastructure. In terms of two high courts, there are still few hangovers that we are finalizing, and it's also in relation to those matters which are approved by the SIU. In Mpumalanga, the whole issue of relating to the access road, which has been finalized. In relation to Limpopo, the Polokwane High Court, the Limpopo High Court in Polokwane, there is quite a number of substandard work they've performed, which still expose us to quite regular breakdowns in the infrastructure, which the matter was being probed by the SIU, and we hope that the report will be describing closure on these matters, but obviously we are still engaging with them just to get closure on those two projects in terms of the two high courts. It has been a very painful relationship, and we are glad that we are seeing the end of it at the moment. The Deputy Minister has spoken to alluded to the issue of the declining court performance hours, and also the backlog in terms of costs. Chair, we would be able, I think, it will have the idea at some point to present the whole backlog recovery plan that the Deputy Minister alluded to, and what the role of every stakeholders involved is. In terms of the plan, I must indicate that it also includes South African Police Service, and I think it's we've worked out a plan around that, and I think there are already action steps by the various members on the department side who are taking the role of overseeing the process and making sure that the monitoring of the case backlogs in terms of the targets set out is showing some improvement, and I think we'll be able to deal with that aspect. We've taken the note around the issue of the need to that court services will be part of the essential functions that should be identified and should basically be clearly articulated in the turnaround or recovery rescue plan that the Honourable Janjef alluded to. And I think around the space we'll be able to mention what from our side is the intervention which are already undergoing in terms of each and every performance area. We must say that we welcome from the court services the appointment of the DDG corporate services, because I think one of our biggest challenges have been the whole issue of the waning human resource capacity. I know that all the time emphasis is only given to the 23% vacancy rate at SMS level. And I think in our report will indicate how vacancies at operational level basically also impact on the court functioning, which is a space which is normally not reflected to. And I think the turnaround time of the department in terms of in the vacancies is one of the concern area, which we need to work on, and I think in our report we'll be able to look into that. Sexual offences will provide a report in terms of the as well as the NSO in terms of the reasons for the underperformance. While in terms of the sexual offences, that the performance was below by 3%, whilst in the NSO there's been huge underperformance. I think our operating model in terms of NSO has been flawed from the beginning, and I think it's one point of our year two, we need to revisit our operating model. The process of collecting all cases, sexual offences cases, centrally in the national office and trying to analyse all the records has backfired, and I think we need to revise that model and basically assign that responsibility to each and every regional offices, because costs and cases are being dealt with at the provincial landscape. And so it will be important that matters are monitored, are captured, are recorded at provincial level and are migrated to national office. When I came over here, I found a centralized process, and the centralized process was basically based on 9-11 officials in Victoria who had to collect information in 9 provinces. So when the vacancies in the space, it affected the whole process of the maintenance of the register. It's not an excuse, and I think we need to revisit that operating model so that we can basically put a sustainable process in place to deliver on that function. I've taken note of the DM's concern that with the expansion of the services, if we are not going to collect that quickly, it will impact on the intention that the new basics to articulate. I've taken no note on the maintenance and maintenance of the quad infrastructure and the concern that we should not be taking from public works what is our mandate. Let me, and I think we will clearly allude to and expect assistance and guidance from the portfolio committee. It is not actually an exercise of taking over from public works. Public works and infrastructure dumping that function back to us. And they wanted dumping to us with no budget. Remember that we pay public works rentals for all the premises that they manage, and out of that dispensation, out of the formula of payment, there's a percentage that must be focused on the maintenance of those buildings. Now, we are saying to them, we can't take over the functions whilst we still pay over to public works that aspect. There are ongoing discussion around the space, and I think with the guidance of the portfolio committee, should be able to find a clear articulation. Telephone lines in Bloemfontein have been resolved, and we apologize if it has taken time to set them to sort them out, and it was all linked to the bandwidth and the whole issue of the connectivity. And I think it was sorted through the expansion of the fiber around the space. And I think we're engaging with Telkom to see how we can leverage on the new world doing things, because I think the issue of the bandwidth has remained the biggest problem in terms of our far lying areas. I'm trying to we'll articulate a clear reason in terms of irregular expenditure and cost around program 2, and basically indicate what steps have been taken in respect of official concern, because I think over and above all these aspects, there is a whole issue of consequence management, which basically need to come to the fore. And I think it should not only have we been able to spend more than what we have delivered. I think the reality is that even despite that, the performance, our performance management system still provided, even in the past, for officials and colleagues to still get the rewards for because there was no connection basically between what the department's performance outcome is and what the individual performance of officials seeks to target. And I think we are in the process of turning that around, and I think it should start showing those results in terms of linking our individual performance with the performance of the organization. But I will leave to the acting DG, and those matters which I haven't responded to, I would basically be able to put them in writing so that basically we could get guidance and further directions from our principals. Thanks, Chair, and thanks, acting DG.
Chair, may I request that Ms. Connie Mametra comes in briefly on the question of the filling of vacancies?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Acting DG. Indeed, the 23.4% vacancy rate at the SMS level has impacted negatively on the performance of the department. A plan has since been put in place to expedite the processes of filling those vacancies. We have already started with the process. We are also establishing a task team, which is, I call it a rapid response task team, to ensure that we we expedite the filling of those vacancies. And this will also assist in reducing the turnaround times in terms of filling the vacancies in the department. Chairperson, I can also just say in short that in terms of the disciplinary processes that we have, the process is unfolding. We are now at the process of leading evidence. We will submit an updated report in the next meeting in terms of the progress that we are making in that regard. I think I can pause here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I request that the Acting Solicitor General answer on questions relating to challenges in the State Attorney very briefly, please. Mr. Pandalani.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee and the DM. I think there are two questions that have been posed. The first would have been from Honorable Breitenbach. I'm unable to answer the question in relation to why the position of Solicitor General is acting. I think that is an issue that the Minister might address as and when he gets to address you. However, a point to be made is that I'm not internal from the Department of Justice. I was appointed, I'm an external practitioner, and my appointment has essentially been to implement the provisions of the State Attorney's Amendment Act. And so that is the mandate that I've been given primarily. There are challenges indeed from what I've observed in the operating model of the State Attorneys. On issues related to procurement, and it is indeed true, Honorable Breitenbach, that the State Attorney is the State Attorney for the Republic. And if it is the State Attorney for the Republic, it does really need cooperation from all client departments. What I've observed is that in relation to procurement, there are disparities and there is lack of cooperation from the client departments themselves. Invariably, you are finding a situation where client departments are still resisting to toe the line insofar as the State Attorneys are concerned. They would, in fact, prefer to brief State Attorneys when they've depleted their own budget, and that is disconcerting because the provisions of the State Attorneys Amendment Act are very instructive insofar as that issue is concerned. We are trying to address that issue, and the one issue or one aspect that must be taken into account is the absence of policies in relation to that space. And if one has regard, and I think the Portfolio Committee does have regard to the provisions or the intent and purport of the State Attorneys Amendment Act, more particularly Section 3, Subsection 4, the intention there is that there needs to be one NEF center insofar as procurement of legal services are concerned. What one has observed in this space, more particularly in relation to that aspect of procurement, has been that there's been a disjointed approach, and some of the people that might have been briefed might not actually be appearing on the CSD, which is the database that is there, intended to ensure that procurement is done in an efficient manner. And we are, in fact, implementing a requirement that any person that renders legal services to the state externally should, in fact, be on the CSD and must comply with all procurement prescripts. And additionally, they ought to also be registered on BAS. So that is a directive that has been issued to State Attorneys. And the intention there is to have a streamlined procurement process and avoid some of the excesses that we see in that space. The other issue that has been raised by Honorable Swart, that is in relation to the complaints against State Attorneys. I think I need also to zoom into the issue that year in, year out, there's been a problem in that there are now 13 heads of offices that ought to be appointed in that space, which was not the case before the proclamation of the State Attorney's Amendment Act on the 7th of February 2020. I came into this space after the proclamation has been pronounced. As you would all know, I think I came into this space just 2 days before the declaration of the disaster management. But it's not about me. It's about what we are putting in place in order to address some of the challenges that that one is observing. With the vacancy rate in the 13 offices of state attorneys, two were filled as at the time of my appointment. I have since in this 6 months interviewed, and there is in process appointment of seven and not six as reported in the document. It's seven heads of offices so that we can have more accountability in offices of heads of attorneys which are attached to all the high courts in South Africa. Additionally, I've also requested that the remaining four, so that we can have a full complement of state attorneys, should be appointed. And these are at a very senior level. You cannot have state attorneys operating, number one, in silo, and number two, without people that are accountable. That is a recipe for disaster, and that is what one is, in fact, implementing or trying to plug those holes where the heads of offices or these offices are operating in a rudderless manner. And I hope that we will, in fact, with the appointment, have full accountability and responsibility and a better relationship with client departments. There is an issue that Honorable Swart has raised in relation to the medico-legal cases or imbroglio in the Eastern Cape and other places as well. But more particularly, when one zooms into the Eastern Cape space, and I think reports will indicate that there's so much interference in the manner with which state attorneys would have to deal with these matters. And I think the reported case is more particularly points to the Provincial Department of Health, which has sought to interfere in that space, in other instances even withdrawing the services of the state attorney, and I think a judge has been scathing in that regard, because these interferences are problematic. However, going forward, in order to have a streamlined process, once we implement the policies and once we, in fact, have since issued a directive which is going to be given to all heads of offices, that matters that are actually clogging the court rolls and also impacting negatively on the contingent register or the liability, as it were, should be identified and be dealt with in terms of the Uniform Court of Uniform Rules of Court 41, capital A, so that we can, in fact, deal with these matters at an earlier stage, where a matter, in fact, is started, say, at 5 million today, and it is finalized 7 years down the line. You more often will expect that the costs would have escalated, and that is besides the legal costs that are inherent. So a matter that, in fact, would have started at 5 million rand, which could have been settled at an earlier stage, in fact, impact negatively on the fiscus, in that by the time that it gets to be settled, way some years down the line, it is 4 or 5 times the amount that has been intimated originally. The problem in that space, again, is lack of cooperation by client departments, because state attorneys cannot, in fact, operate without instructions. And for that reason, it will be important that the policies that are envisaged in the State Attorneys Act, Amendment Act are, in fact, presented to Cabinet. We are, in fact, finalizing them so that we can, in fact, deal with all issues that are impacting on the state from a legal point of view, and to protect the security of the state in a manner that is seamless, in a manner that is coordinated. And it is also to be noted that those policies are not only saving or are to be approved in Cabinet, they will be submitted to Parliament. I think those would have been the two issues that have been raised by the two honorable members. But if there are any residual issues, I'm prepared to answer those directly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And a few responses from my side to deal with some critical issues. Firstly, on the question of the Master's Office and the Guardians Fund matter, and when will people be paid? We were forced to shut down the matter due to the nature of the threat and what had happened in the Pietermaritzburg Guardians Fund. We had to shut down the system so that we couldn't make payments over a few days. But what has happened now is that we have a backup plan for the payment in terms of how the officers manage the request, and then the request is put through to the bank. I will provide further details in writing in that regard. And I'm assured that people, there was communication through the officers in respect of why payments were not made and when they will be made. But I must say, Chairperson, that there's a criminal investigation that is currently underway, and there are certain issues that we will provide a response to in writing. But we are doing it to ensure that people are paid. And the issue within the Master's Offices, yes, this is a long, ongoing problem. Firstly, as management, I think we are weight structures as well. We're going to assist to bring some stability, and we hope to add that address shortly. But of course, the turnaround of the Master's Office is part of the turnaround of the broader department's turnaround strategy, and we will ensure that I was going to suggest that we brief the committee again on the turnaround strategy together with the audit turnaround strategy, and how do we intend to address the problems that the department is currently facing. So I think the investigations into the Master's Office will be dealt with as part of that process. With regard to the treaty reports, Chairperson, there are two treaties of racial discrimination, the third report, that is already in process through Cabinet for approval and then for submission. On the second report, on the African Charter, we are currently having that report edited. That report was significantly delayed due to the non-submission of Part B of the report from a particular department, and we since received it, and that report is being edited and it will be taken through Parliament. So I think there was a question on the submission of those reports. With regard to the National Action Plan and the work that needs to be done for the implementation of the plan, as part of our turnaround strategy, we will include the measures we will put in place to address those problems. Chair, I think we must, the rest of the questions, if there's anything that I can answer now, I will. But I think in respect of the other questions that were posed, we would send a detailed response in writing. And also, I've noted the request for the investigation reports into the security contract. We will attend to the submission of those reports immediately. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Are there any members who've got pending follow-ups? None. No, thank you very much for the presentation of the report. I would not repeat what members have already said. It's a very depressing report, and the slide started some time back. From 84 to 51, which is effectively 49% in the fourth quarter, and the last quarter, that is the first quarter, is 45%.
I do think that it's something that we just can't be proud of. And at the rate at which we are going, your performance is reducing members of parliament to be perpetual complainants because there seems to be no improvement. We should remember, as Honorable Swart put it eloquently, for us these are not targets. These are not members. These are not numbers. These are lives of the people we represent. And that is very critical for us. And there's one thing that I always hate, even the people I've worked with. I generally hate people who always report process, not impact. We want results that have got an impact. But in most cases, most of your reports are generic, and you always report processes. And I always get an impression that the reports are just tailor-made to manage us, not to report what is really happening. And on that score, I do think that we would not be in a position to support you with the request you have made that there should be no budget cuts. We cannot, in good conscience, support you when you have not been able to spend 757 million rands, and we say National Treasury must not cut the money. Clearly, it seems that you do not want it. The position that you are talking about, that it has now been filled of the DG for corporate services, that position has been vacant since 2016. It has been vacant since 2016, and quite a number of them. So I would really strongly support that in our BRRR reports, one, the minister needs to come to explain himself, because some of these positions, it is him who must take them to cabinet, especially the positions of deputy director generals and the director generals. He needs to account, why do we still have those vacancies? And the acting DG positions below that, we still need a serious accountability. Why do we have 23% vacancy rate? I am quite convinced that the suggestion made by Honorable Janji, supported by Honorable Mofokeng, that you need outside help. There is a need for a public service commission to do a deep dive into the department to give us a clearer picture about what is happening and what should be done. Most of you have been with the department for many years. If you have not been able to turn around the department in so many years that you have been with the department, what comfort do we have that without any help you'll be able to do that turnaround? I don't think that we can say without any fear of contradiction that we can on your own just think that you'll be able to do that turnaround. It's not possible. The issues raised by, for instance, Honorable Jale about the payment within 30 days. It might be that you did not meet it by 1%, but it's 1% too many. many small businesses that are dependent on that payment within 30 days are going under. People are getting unemployed. That is because of such actions. In the last financial year, you promised to appoint interns. You did not appoint the interns. It's only now that you're saying that you have the funds to appoint some interns. We are not sure that you are going to do that. So I'm quite convinced that on your own, we have no confidence that you would be able to turn around, in fact, to implement the turnaround that you have been promising us. You were quite convincing even last year that no, there is going to be turnaround, all of these things are going to be addressed. In fact, in that meeting that we had that Honorable Tanti was talking about, you were even saying that within so many months we would have all these positions filled and interviews are going to be conducted, but we are still where we were when you met us. So I would really, as part of the BRRR, support this intervention that we have. The Public Service Commission and all other bodies that can try and assist our department to get back to what it's supposed to be. What I do not understand, within your stable, you have entities that are excelling. You have legal aid that has had 19 clean audits for 19 years. It has been an employer of choice for 11 consecutive years. But maybe you're too proud to want to learn from them. When we started as this committee, the performance of the public protector was at 50%. The following year, it was 70%. What was reported subject to verification by the AG is 79%. Same with the SIU. But when it comes to you, we always have these generic responses, non-compliance, irregular expenditure, under expenditure. Honestly, we cannot support that you get more money. I think there are institutions, even within the Department of Justice and the broader security cluster, that are spending the money, and we are seeing the results. You have more than 600 million that you have not been able to recover from your own sister departments. More than 600 million that you have not been able to recover from your own assistant department, and you are saying that you have written it off. As to what are the reasons, it's not clear. Honorable Breitenbach has asked that certain issues be responded to us in writing, for instance, the issue of the BUSASA contracts. We would want that those responses, all the responses, we want them in the next 2 weeks, starting from tomorrow. We want all the responses in the next 2 weeks. Last time we asked you about the expenditure in the Zondo Commission, it took more than 2 months when we were promised that it was going to happen within the next 7 days. So that is the department we are being accustomed to. I'm not sure whether is it your own internal capacity or it is just a total disrespect of Parliament. I think for us, it's a first step that we are asking for an external intervention. I think the second step
we should really ask ourselves a question whether the senior managers we have are really fit for purpose. If this intervention fails, then the question would be whether the senior managers we have in the department are fit for purpose. We hope that very soon, once the BRRR is approved, if there is broader support for the intervention by the Public Service Commission so that we can really understand what animal are we dealing with, then it would assist us to have proper interventions. I remember some time back when the finances of the department were not coming together, Business Against Crime assisted. There was a CFA seconded to the department, I think it was Mr. McKenzie then, but we are quite convinced with the current crop doing things as we have been doing, we will always get the results that we are getting. Before, I think by after the 28th of November, we will invite the minister to answer for issues that are supposed to have been done by him. For instance, there is a question that was asked by, I think, Honorable Breitenbach about why is the Solicitor General acting? Those are the questions that the minister need to answer. But I think all honorable members, most of the questions that were really asked, in fact, are of concern to all of us. And the issue is that we just cannot accept that if we do things as we have been doing them, then we will get things right. We will, in fact, by so doing, we would be betraying the people of South Africa. In fact, the issue of the masters, which was, I think, raised by Honorable Swart and Honorable Mofokeng, that was the last conversation at 2:30 that I had with the late Honorable Hisham Mohammed. He was deeply concerned about the mess in the master's office in the Western Cape. So for us, this is not academic. And these reports that you always promised us that you are going to be responding to us in writing, I think it's an old sad song. If the reports are not backed by practical turnaround results, they are not worth the paper they are written on. They're just a promissory note that is not worth to be honored. We want to see action. This is not the legacy we would want to leave behind when our time comes to an end in 2024. Because at this rate, if it was in 2016, it was 84%, now it's 59%, maybe by the time we leave, it will be 12%. And we would not allow that. We would not allow, as a collective of this portfolio committee, we would not be party to your failure. Because your failure will reflect us. And we cannot accept it. Not at all. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I'm told that the next meeting will be with the Office of the Chief Justice. What time is it? 3:00, Bonan?
Yes, that's 3:00.
Yes, 3:00. So we are using the same link. Is that correct, Bonan?
Yes, it is.
Yes. So we'll see one another at 3:00. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.